Roger. Brace for auditory impact.
10 seconds there.
1, 2.
Ball pin record on my count.
Yeah!
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A. Fade up on the tape.
We're ready to go into fast time if you are.
Live from the authority of South Florida, the Rich Steven Show starts now.
Doing a real good show up there. I think we're proving our point, old buddy.
All right, listen up, you guys.
Morning.
Morning.
Wake.
It's Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday.
I am loving the sound of your voice.
Good morning, sunshine.
Crank up the radio.
Y'all ready for the big show?
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
And action.
Okay, let's do it.
Hey, guys. You ready to let the dogs out?
All right, let's do this.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Well, what are we waiting for?
It's showtime.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The talk show host, Rich Stevens, and the criminal defense attorney, Michelle Suskauer. These are their stories.
And that is my favorite part about a Tuesday broadcast. Hope you are doing well. I am Rich Stevens. It is Tuesday. It's the, the 23rd of the month already. And, today the Nevada caucuses for the Republicans. And that's just, of course, one of the topics that we have going on. Now, as it is with every Tuesday, lots of things to discuss in different areas. So we are just about to get rolling. Thank you for being here. Got something you want to say? 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Michelle, how are you? Welcome to the studio. You got to be close to that microphone now.
I'm really happy to be here. Good morning.
I got to tell you, to start the show today, there's some news on that play that you're going to see. When are you going to see it?
The end of March.
Hamilton has been awarded the Edward M. Kennedy Prize for Drama Inspired by American History. This was in the New York Times yesterday. I saw this. I said, I got to bring in this article and tell Michelle about it. They say that the award was created by Ambassador Jean Kennedy Smith to honor her late brother, Senator Ted Kennedy. The creator of Hamilton and the star, Lin-Manuel Miranda, gets a check for, get this, $100,000.
That's great. That's wonderful. It's from everything that I've heard about it and seen and read, it is absolutely worth it. And I'm sure it's not money that it's going to go in his pocket, but he actually brings in, he does so much to promote history, learning about history. He brings in school children instead of the, you know, 300 plus price per ticket. He gives away so much. And so he just wants to educate as much as he can, as well as entertain. So I think it's wonderful.
Do you remember, I don't know if I dreamt this, or did we talk about the Grammys? Were you here after that, or did we not talk about that?
I don't think we did talk about it.
Yeah, because the I think maybe we talked on the phone.
We did.
The performance at the Grammys when we did talk about it on the phone. They normally don't have a performance on Monday nights, and they obviously going to be on a Grammy stage, so they invited an audience. It was a little bit fake, the audience, but the performance itself was phenomenal.
Well, it wasn't a fake audience.
It was
a real audience.
No. Yes, but they were told when to, you know, stand up. This is a fact.
No, but this is, it's an audience that they said, look, that you're going to be able to watch the Grammys, and we have to perform the opening act for the Grammys. That's what they did. And obviously, they're going to cheer like heck if they won, which they did win. So
yes, they did.
Was great.
And the performance was great. But the audience was fake. New York Daily News, New York Post did a story on it, that it was people that they actually, some were, and I don't understand this, but some were paid to be in the front couple rows there to stand up and perform, meaning that, you know, the waving of the hands. If you go back and watch, if you have that on tape, you go back and watch it, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
I think
they were overly.
Oh, that is absolute. That is absolute nonsense.
This was an article in both the Daily News and the New York Post.
Okay, well, you know,
they never lie about anything.
No,
it's
never.
It's always fact. Those are
always
factual
fact.
Newspapers.
Okay. People pay big money to go see this show, and you know
that
they
couldn't pay. You couldn't pay $100,000 for a ticket for a Monday performance, because there is no Monday performance.
I understand that, but if they put those up for sale, people would pay just to be there for one song.
But they didn't do it for that night.
All right, if you believe that,
I do believe it.
Okay, good.
And if you watch the tape, you'll see what I'm talking about. But the performance was incredible. I actually heard some people talking about this. the day after, saying, I don't know what this is, and it doesn't make any sense, and nobody really cares, and nobody really knows about it. It was one of the highlights of the Grammys.
It was the best part of the Grammys.
And I thought of you. As soon as I saw that they were going to the stage.
And that's why it was so heartbreaking when Broadway was canceled because of the New York City blizzard for us. But we are going back, take two.
And this is in March.
In March.
It's not on a Tuesday, is it?
It's no, I would never miss a Tuesday.
Okay, good, good. Just want to make sure. All right, so here's the deal. There's so many things to cover. The one story that has pretty much blown people's minds is this Jason Dalton guy who's now been charged with multiple counts, but no one knows why he did it. This is the Uber driver that was accused in Saturday's shooting spree in Kalamazoo. He's officially been charged with 6 counts of murder. The charges were filed yesterday against Jason Dalton, also includes 2 counts of attempted murder. This guy appeared before the judge by a video feed. And while the basics of the case have been laid out, investigators still have not revealed a potential motive for this horrific shooting spree. They said that he opened fire at 3 different locations Saturday night. It took him 5 hours. He has no criminal record. If he gets convicted, is there any way that he's not going to get convicted?
I mean, you know, it seems like an overwhelming case, but, you know, you never know.
Why? Explain to me how the law works. If somebody says that I'm guilty, yes, I did it, why can't we just jump to the end? Why do you still have to go through a process?
Well, because we have due process. And if someone, you still have to go through and make sure that someone's confession or statement is not coerced in any way.
But they have video of this guy doing it.
That they're legally competent, that they're not going to use any sort of mental health defense. We have due process for a reason. And I'm not saying that it's not going to be the same result, meaning conviction and sentencing, whatever that would be. But we still have a process for everyone, whether you're charged with shoplifting or murder.
Now, he has no criminal record. If he does get convicted, he could be sentenced to life in prison. His next court appearance is on March 3rd. Residents in Kalamazoo say, of course, here's the typical, as we see in all these cases, he seemed like an average guy.
Right.
He was always friendly.
Well, what do you say to someone who doesn't have a criminal history? If he did have a criminal history,
he was never caught. Right, so that makes it a different story. He was married. He lived with his wife and 2 kids, ages 10 and 15.
Unremarkable.
He's been described as someone who liked to spend evenings in his garage working on cars. A woman who knows the suspect's wife said Dalton worked as an insurance adjuster in addition to driving for Uber. And this guy drove around for 5 hours, picked up people, and got paid for it. And in between, he was shooting and killing people.
So clearly, he snapped. This is something that seems to be completely out of character. And the question is, why? And I'm hoping maybe they'll get to the bottom of it, and maybe they won't.
Now, will they release these videos because of everything that's happened in the world today where, you know, people have held back things? This is not the kind of case where it's, you know, a black and white issue. It's totally different than that. But just for is there any reason that they won't release these tapes? I believe that they should release the tapes so people can see how horrific these crimes were. And because I don't want people to, and I'm afraid that people have already become desensitized to these mass shootings. And this clearly is another mass shooting.
Well, I guess it's going to depend on the agency. Certainly, if it's part of discovery, it's public record. But maybe if you know, there's sensitivity to the families, that's something that they may want to alter in some way so they don't see it's horrific. And so it's a very tough balance when you're balancing, you know, the right to get this information. We have freedom of the press. We have, you know, open discovery rules versus the sensitivity to the families and to the dead. And it's a very tough balance.
First of all, I know I've asked you this on different cases, but let's take each case. Obviously, every case is different. There's no two the same. Number one, I have to tell you, I have to ask you, are you okay?
Yeah.
You have this ultra serious look on your face today.
Well,
but do you notice this, that she looks more serious?
You're talking to me about some terrible murders. Am I supposed to giggle and laugh?
No,
it's very
not at
serious.
All, but you look more serious. Doesn't she look more serious than normal?
She looks more focused, I would say.
Is that what it is?
I'm focused.
Okay, so while you're focused, and this is where I've asked you on several different cases over the years, if this was your client, what's the first thing that you'd be doing right now?
I would be having a mental health evaluation.
And do you think they're doing that right
now?
I do.
I do. I think that is, we need to find out what happened here. And we need to make sure that, number one, he's competent to proceed. And number two, we want to see what happened. Is there a defense in terms of possibly using some sort of mental health defense, the insanity defense? Because I'm not saying that so that the case would then go to trial and he would be found not guilty by reason of insanity. This is all mitigation. This is someone who, and believe me, I don't want anyone to get me wrong. I'm not defending the act of what he did, which was horrific. But what I'm saying is we need to be able to evaluate. So if this case does get resolved, which almost every case does, the court is going to be aware of any mental health issues or history, because this is someone who's never committed a crime, is, you know, has a job, has another job, obviously, as an Uber driver, has a family, lived basically an unremarkable, crime-free life. So something happened here. This doesn't just happen. So we need to get to the bottom of it. That's what I would do as his criminal defense lawyer if I represented him.
And what does this say for background checks? Because he did go through an Uber background check.
Well, what do you do? I mean, if he went through an Uber background check and he has no criminal problems, he has no criminal history, he has a job, a full-time job, if he had to give in some sort of references saying this guy's a good guy, he's a family guy, he's a dad, he has a intact marriage, my God. What are you supposed to do? Guess that someone is going to do this? This is someone who's just going to completely explode?
Well, here's another thing. Several reports have come up that say that he was driving erratically before and after the murder. Several of his passengers even went to Facebook and Twitter and wrote about this crazy Uber driver, and yet, once again, nobody notified authorities. And police can't be... I realize they do monitor Facebook, they do monitor Twitter, but there's too many things that are out there.
And so if you see something that's strange, you have to speak up. But we have to rely on our public to report things. If we don't, it's just guesswork. How is law enforcement supposed to assist if someone is being a danger on the road if no one reports that someone is being a danger on the road?
One of the people actually wrote, this guy is not a safe ride, avoid this guy. And yet, you know, it's a little too late.
Oh, I mean, this is not something that seemed to be predictable at all.
How long do you think this process is going to take before they actually get to the end result with this particular case? Are we talking about like a couple of years?
No, I don't believe it's going to take that long. But again, it has to go through the process. And it really depends on the court. It depends on the state. It depends on the court's caseload. But certainly this is something that's high priority. And they'll move it along. But they're not going to push it any quicker than the attorneys can be prepared.
So on March 3rd, which is the next court appearance, what happens then?
I'm not sure if that's his arraignment. Because he just had his initial appearance. If that is his arraignment.
I'm sorry. The initial appearance is where the charges are presented, or
right,
what you're
being
charged with.
And it would be, you know, I'm not sure whether that was an initial bond hearing or just a bond status where he's going to be left obviously in custody. So normally the next appearance normally would be his arraignment, where it would be a plea of guilty or not guilty. And we've talked about this, even if it's a plea of not guilty, that doesn't mean that there wouldn't be a subsequent plea of guilty down the road.
Right.
Again, we're just talking about process.
Got it. It's an incredible process to watch it unfold. All right, quick time out. That's Michelle Suskauer. I'm Rich Stevens. This is Law & Order Tuesday on The Rich Stevens Show.
850 WFTL. This is The Rich Stevens Show. Now, here's Rich Stevens.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The talk show host, Rich Stevens, and the criminal defense attorney, Michelle Suskauer. These are their stories.
And there's some really good stories today. Michelle, I got to tell you, somehow I truly believe that these criminals know that we're doing this Law & Order Tuesdays, and that's why they do the things beforehand so we get to talk about them.
We appreciate it.
If you've never been to an Italian restaurant that serves those garlic knots, they're like little pieces of dough that are tied in knots and covered in olive oil and fresh garlic. They're really good. You like those?
I love them. Who doesn't like those?
So I'm not necessarily excusing what these people did. I'm just saying, I get it. I understand. Jessica Conti from the Palm Coast, which is right by Daytona Beach. She's 25 years old. She went to this pizza place on Friday night. She ordered some garlic knots. She did not want Parmesan cheese on top. You know they sprinkle the cheese on top? I love the cheese.
Best part.
Right, I asked for extra cheese. But the employees put the cheese on top anyway. You can see where this is going, right?
Was she lactose intolerant?
She just didn't want the cheese. She's entitled to say, I don't want the cheese. I think we're seeing these patterns where people just think that they're entitled. And part of me thinks that if I order it, I'm going into your business and I say, no Parmesan, and then you bring me Parmesan, then...
But there's a way that you can do this with, you know, tact and actually act not like an animal, but act like a person.
Without a doubt.
And say, you know what? Can you please redo the garlic knots for me? It's sort of like someone who doesn't get what they want in a drive-thru and they go crazy.
It's true. Speaking of going crazy, the Cosby mess continues. We'll talk about that coming up next. Bill Cosby's wife has testified on tape. You're listening to The Rich Stevens Show.
Tall, dark, and handsome. Well, he is tall. It's Rich Stevens on 850 WFTL. Here he is.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The talk show host, Rich Stevens, and the criminal defense attorney, Michelle Suskauer. These are their stories.
And one of the stories that's topping the headlines again is the Cosby mess. The Cosby mess continues. It seems like we've been talking about the Cosby thing for quite a long time. In an apparent attempt to delay a new criminal case against him, his attorneys have filed a civil lawsuit against one of his accusers and the National Enquirer for breach of contract relating to a legal settlement originally reached in 2006. Now, it involves sexual assault accusations that are now at the center of that new criminal case. Now, Cosby's suit names Andrea Constant, her mother and two lawyers, and a National Enquirer publisher, which is American Media Inc., for sharing details of Cosby's deposition in a previous civil lawsuit in a violation of a confidentiality agreement, which was signed in 2006. How do these depositions even get out? I mean, it's the attorneys. Why are you looking at me like that?
Why are you surprised?
I mean, it's got to be leaked like that, no?
Sure.
So who else would leak it? It's got to be the opposing attorney.
Maybe it was a party. Who knows how many people can get their hands on something? Don't be so quick to accuse the attorney.
Well, I'm just asking.
I don't know. I mean, it could be the attorney. It could be a number of people.
Now, it was very interesting over the last few days, actually over the weekend, because the Cosby attorneys filed a last-minute suit. This was on Saturday. How do you file suits on the weekend?
I mean, you can e-file something, but it's not going to pop up in the system until.
But judges, you know, judges work around the clock, obviously. But
if something is filed on the weekends, the court's not going to see it.
So how did this work? Because what happened is on Saturday, they filed this. They filed the suit, which I didn't understand, in Springfield, Massachusetts, and a judge ruled. I guess, on that immediately. So how does that work?
Well, maybe if there was an emergency motion or something that needed the court's attention. But normally that's not going to happen, at least not here.
So because it's Bill Cosby, then things are different?
I don't know. I don't know what exactly was filed and what the court exactly did. But if there was an issue that needed to be looked at for something that was happening imminently, it's possible, but normally that does not happen that way in the court system.
This all went down yesterday. Judge did not. They were trying to change. They didn't want her to be deposed. They tried to.
So it was a motion.
That.
What happened was it was a motion for a protective order to protect Camille Cosby. And obviously that was denied and she was deposed.
But that happened on the weekend, right?
If they filed it, if they filed it on Saturday, they could file it. But the court did not decide it until Monday, because that's when the deposition was scheduled and it was denied.
But she was actually in court yesterday at 9:30 in the morning. So you're telling me this was done way before that?
No. If the lawyers filed a motion for a protective order to protect Camille Cosby from testifying, the court would then probably make that decision on that emergency motion before the court hearing on Monday morning.
Now, this is a very sticky situation, because although she's been Bill's business manager for years, she's also his wife. So
sure.
The marital exclusion does still apply.
Unless a crime was committed, then there's no marital privilege.
So one spouse can or cannot testify against the other?
Sure, a spouse can testify against the other, because you can't, for example, if someone has allegedly committed a crime, but she is in a very unique position, just like you said, because not only is she his spouse, she is his business partner. So they may be asking her questions as his business partner too.
Now, Camille Cosby began her deposition yesterday, which tells me that they're probably going to depose her again today. It wasn't a one-day kind of deal.
It depends on how many attorneys there are. And if, you know, I would think that she was going to be deposed for multiple days. Absolutely.
Now, she's 71 years old. She answered questions in this defamation lawsuit, which was filed against her husband, Bill Cosby, by seven of his accusers. One of those accusers is our friend who's been on the Rich Devens show numerous times, who lives here in South Florida. And obviously at this point, because there's a case in motion, she can't come back on and comment on it. I understand that. The judge ruled that her deposition has to proceed. Her lawyers tried several times to block. And since Camille has been the comedian's business manager, the women's lawyers believe that she could have useful information. That's why she's being deposed. Now, of course, dozens of women have accused her husband of sexual assault. Camille issued a statement, quote, calling him a kind man, a generous man, a funny man, and a wonderful husband, father, and friend. And now she's being deposed. I haven't heard anything about them sealing this deposition like they did with that Bill Cosby, the videotaped deposition.
I don't know what the current order is in this particular litigation as to whether there's some sort of a gag order or the depositions are under seal. So I don't know. It's possible that it is. We just haven't heard.
How long can a deposition go on?
Until it's done.
I mean, days, hours?
I mean, you know, I've taken depositions. I don't think any of my depositions have, maybe I had one that I had to take in three parts just because it was hours and hours. But you have multiple attorneys here. This is a very, very important witness.
So does that mean, when you're saying that, does that mean they're all asking questions?
Absolutely. And not, I don't want you to think they're all like yelling at her and asking. There's decorum in the deposition.
So it's not like it is on The Good Wife?
No, I haven't seen The Good Wife. I live The Good Wife. I can't.
Well, yeah.
Right. So, you know, of course you're going to have one attorney. Then you're going to have any sort of a cross-examination. Then you'll have another attorney go. Then you'll have, the same thing. So everybody has to have their crack at the witness.
Now, is that technically... I used the term before that she testified yesterday. Is that technically she is testifying? Because
she is.
That's a court record,
It's
right?
a sworn statement. It's under oath, and it could be used in court. Absolutely. So, it's a discovery tool. It's to find out, and just so that the listeners know, there are things that come out during depositions. What can come out during depositions are much broader than what may be able to be admissible in court. So what will come out in depositions could be pretty much everything, the kitchen sink. But then the court's going to make the decision as to what is appropriate and relevant that can actually come into court.
Now, does the deposition have to be done in person?
No, it could be done telephonically and it could be done by video.
And
it can be. But and a deposition can be videotaped.
So, for example, if she's here in Florida and the attorneys in Massachusetts say, no, you need to be here, they can say, well, we'll do it.
No, they
here?
Would come down here to where the witness lives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's more effective when it's in person. You really want to be able to see a person's body language. You want to be in the same, you want to eyeball them. You want to see them in the same room.
So how long do you think this process is going to go on? And is this, I know I asked you this a couple of weeks ago, but I have to ask you again, is this the attorney's, excuse the way I'm going to phrase this, because I know you're going to take offense and I don't mean any offense. Is this the way of the attorneys running the clock or the cash register as long as they can to postpone everything?
No, this is do you think they shouldn't take her deposition?
Well, no.
Are you kidding?
No, I think they should, but I'm just saying how many years is this whole case going to go on for?
I don't know.
It's like there's no end in sight.
There will be an end because people are looking for some financial settlement here. So there will be an end to this litigation, but this is an important witness. This is not some minor witness that, you know, they're just... you know, cherry picking out and saying, oh, let's just take this person that doesn't mean anything. Not only is this Bill Cosby's business manager, but this is his wife. This is significant testimony that's coming out. And so it has to be taken. She had to be deposed. She is being deposed, and they're going to continue to depose her until they're done. Now, they can't harass her. They can't, they have to be appropriate. They can't continue it forever and just continue to have her in for days and days and days. They need to get their evidence out. They need to ask her questions, and they need to be done.
Now, if these seven women win this case, will Cosby be paying for their attorney too, all the costs?
It's possible that that he could be responsible for her attorney's fees. It all depends on certain things that are filed. Yes,
these attorneys, I'm told, are getting in excess of $1,000 an hour for the work they do. Is that legit?
It depends on the attorney. It depends on not everybody is worth $1,000 an hour. It's a lot of money, but.
But this cash register at this point has got to be way, way exuberant fees at this point, no?
I'm sure it's significant.
Just really incredible. 877-850-8585. Let's go to Paul in Palm Beach Gardens. How are you today?
Hey, how are you?
Good, Paul. How are you? What's up?
Good. A little research on Cosby shows that a federal judge unsealed the deposition, and in the attempt to get the privacy agreement that was also signed, news reporters found out very quickly that the deposition was now part of the public record, and that's how they got the public record, or they got the deposition out into the public. It was not through any surreptitious release. It was
public
after it was unsealed.
You're talking about Camille's deposition from yesterday.
I'm talking about Cosby's. Bill Cosby's, which is led us to where you're at now.
We were talking.
See,
about
I haven't
Camille.
Seen any of that yet.
No. Cosby's deposition was unsealed, which is why, and Paul's correct, and that's why this new district attorney has gone ahead. Once there were statements in that deposition, they were able to look at, which is why the prosecution then is proceeding.
So now that this, if the federal,
are we talking about two different things?
No, I don't know what's going on or what the relationship with her current deposition is in terms of it being sealed or not. But once his deposition became unsealed, it did open up the ability for people to not only sue, but for him to be criminally charged.
Yes, that's right.
And when
what
you
I
read
said.
Parts of this deposition of his, he's a pig.
But we're not going to see, the video hasn't been released, right?
I don't know if the video of his deposition has been released, but just reading the 62 pages.
He's a pig. I've been searching for this. You've seen this?
Well, there was some video there was a little snippet of some of the video of the deposition that I saw.
But I wasn't aware that the federal judge unsealed this.
Well, that's why there's a prosecution criminally, because of some admissions in his deposition.
Oh, got it.
He admitted to quaaludes for the purposes of drugging women, for the purposes of
having
sex.
Now I know what you're talking about now. Yes, that was the first deposition. This was not the videotaped deposition that he did in December. This was prior to that. I know what you're talking about now, because that was brought up on the CNN interview, which was, I believe, over a year ago. That's what you're referring to. I'm talking about the stuff that was just done recently. That has been sealed, Michelle. I think the judge said something like 3 years or 5 years or something that this can't come out. So, it's just the twists and turns are just, and this is going to be, the sad part here. Can these seven women or the 50 plus women benefit from a TV movie or a motion picture? Because they're obviously, there's been no talk about this, but they're going to make this into a movie.
I didn't even think about that. I mean, why wouldn't they? OJ's on TV now. So
who would play the part of Bill Cosby?
I don't know. I haven't even, give me a little time to
All
think
right.
about
I'll
it.
Give you
I
a little
have no
time.
Idea.
I'll give you a little time. We'll take that time out right now, as a matter of fact. You're listening to The Rich Stevens Show.
He's a nice Jewish boy from New York. Well, he is from New York. It's Rich Stevens on 850 WFTL. Here's Rich.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The talk show host, Rich Stevens, and the criminal defense attorney, Michelle Suskauer. These are their stories.
So the Supreme Court is back in session. What happens next? Well, that's anyone's guess. The shorthanded Supreme Court has returned to work a little more than a week after the sudden death of Justice Antonin Scalia. By the way, I saw the picture with you and Justice Scalia on Facebook. Is there anybody you haven't met?
I think I've met six out of the nine justices.
That's pretty incredible. Now the court's going to hear oral arguments in two cases, and that's where it gets pretty interesting. court observers believe that the conservative Scalia might have been the deciding vote in a case involving the rights of criminal defendants. Now, with four conservative and four liberal justices, the court could deadlock 4-4 on that and other pending cases. So a tie vote means a lower court ruling would stand and there would be no national precedent. So what does this mean?
Well,
Is it a waste of time?
No, it's not a waste of time. The court can't stop doing what it needs to do. There are too many cases that need to be heard, need to be decided. That's why it is critical that the president and the Congress follow the Constitution and appoint someone so that there won't be a deadlock on important cases that are going to have to be revisited when another justice would be added. That's why the wheels of justice can't stop. And I Justice Scalia would never have wanted that to happen.
And they draped his chair in that black drape and leave it up for 30 days. It was pretty interesting to see that. Listen, Michelle, always a pleasure and an honor to have you. It seems like it goes faster and faster.
It does. It does. Thank you so much for having me. I love Tuesdays.
Michelle Suskauer, Law and Order, every Tuesday right here on The Rich Stevens Show.